Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's nice to see you. What lovely sunshine. Not quite so sunny now, but I'm sure when you got up, you might well have noticed that it was shining nice and bright. It certainly was earlier on this morning. But it's going to be a nice day. Matthew chapter 25, please. Matthew chapter 25, and I'd like to read just a few verses at the beginning of the chapter, just to remind us of the parable that we had begun to look at. Chapter 25 of Matthew, the verse 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, 10 young women, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. It's a wedding that's taking place, a wedding that followed the custom of Israel. A little different from here, but not really too much different. And 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, he didn't come just when he might have been expected. But then that's what happens at weddings. I don't know if many of you here have ever been to weddings, but it tends to be a long day, and the bride and the groom are taken off by the photographer, and I don't know where he takes them, but it seems that he takes them away to the end of the world. They're that long away. And people wonder, are we ever going to sit down and have something to eat? Delays can take place during the day. And that's what's happened here. While the bridegroom tarried, they were waiting on him, and he seemed to just be a little longer in turning up than was expected. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. We'll end the reading there in the will of the Lord. Now, the subject matter of this parable is the return of the Lord. Not so much his actual return, but the events leading up to it. The Lord Jesus very, very frequently took up the topic of his return. And he did that for a very simple reason. It was a very important event in his heart, in his mind, in his thinking. The Church of the Lord Jesus Christ has, to varying degrees, looked forward to that event. Some Christians look forward to it more than others. They're more conscious of it than others, whereas others just live from day to day and they rarely give any thought to the fact that the Savior is coming back. But that is not the case with the Lord Jesus. He never, never forgets that he's one day going to return. He knows when he's going to return. If I might put it like this, he has a mark on his calendar indicating the very moment that he will return to this earth, and he's looking forward to that event. He never forgets. And the fact that he's looking forward to it is emphasized in that he frequently refers to his return. Frequently. Maybe it'll be an exercise for you whenever you are reading your Bible. You notice when the Lord Jesus mentions in any way his return, and write it down somewhere in a wee note, and as you continue through your Bible reading, you'll find you have a lot of little verses noted that indicate a reference to the Savior speaking of his return. But not only is it something that is clearly indicated in the Savior's many references to his return, but you will see that he got his servants to speak of it. From the very dawn of time, from the very first prophet, through each and every one of them. For Peter on one occasion said, all the prophets have spoken of the return of Christ. So if the Savior was putting into the mouth and into the heart of his prophets references to his return, it shows how important it is. It's as if the Savior was saying to his servants, now don't forget to mention my return. remind them that I'm coming back and tell them something of it. So, as I say, this is a subject, this is a topic that is very important to the Saviour. And it ought to be very important to us as well. We can never imagine what a glorious thing it will be when Jesus returns. We can't begin to imagine, boys and girls, what a wonderful thing it is. Well, as I say in this parable, we are told of the circumstances that will exist amongst God's people up until and during the time when he returns to this earth. Now, I was saying the last time I was with you, I mentioned the swallows and the hawthorn tree, and the little swallow and the hawthorn tree, as well as many other shrubs, indeed all of the shrubs and things that grow out of the earth, are like God's calendars. They tell us that summer is coming. I have black currant bushes that, when I look toward them every time I pass in the garden, they're saying, summer's coming, because they're putting forth leaves, they're growing, they're sprouting, they're getting ready to bring forth a crop. The rhubarb says the same. The gooseberry bush says the same. The apple tree, it speaks the same language. Nature is one of God's means of conveying his truth. And like the Bible, a means by which God speaks to us. And of course, the Bible is the means, the chief means. But nature, as it were, stands behind the Bible and says, yes, that's so. It agrees with what the Bible tells us and witnesses to us. And it shows to us that time is passing. And it tells us when the seasons change, and that's what we read in the Bible. We read in the Bible, there is a day coming when the Lord will return, and it will be like summertime, a summer that the world has never seen the like of before, and it's something we can with joy look forward to. And the Saviour, in the previous chapter, he has been talking about his return. If you just turn back to Matthew chapter 24. Matthew chapter 24 and the verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now, if you ever go to Jerusalem, one of the famous places to visit is called the Wailing Wall. And it's given that name, not because the wall is crying or sobbing or wailing, but because Jewish people gather there, and very often you will see amongst them those who are weeping. Now, the wall is part of the temple, but it's not one of the walls of the temple. It actually is the foundation of the temple. When what the Saviour tells us here in Matthew chapter 24 and the verse 2, when that happened, when the temple was destroyed by the Romans in AD 70, some approximately 40 years after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, the Romans conquered Israel completely, destroyed Israel, wiped it off the map, and they destroyed Jerusalem and they destroyed the temple. This wall. And that's all that's left of the temple. The words of the Lord Jesus were literally fulfilled. That's all that's left. And the Jews gather there to weep that such horrors and sorrows and griefs have befallen their nation and rested upon their nation for nearly 2,000 years. Well, the Saviour's telling the disciples this because the disciples are saying, did you ever see such a building as this? The Lord says, let me tell you, it'll not be long until there's not a stone left standing here. It must have been quite a shock to the disciples who were so taken up with it. Verse 3 says, and he sat upon the Mount of Olives. The disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The Savior's announcement that the temple is going to be destroyed. So they followed him as he went out of Jerusalem, down into the valley and up onto the Mount of Olives. They followed him, and when he stopped and sat down, they gathered round him and said, and I want you to notice they asked him two questions. Do you see the two questions? Very important. Verse 3, tell us, when shall these things be? What are they talking about? When shall the temple be destroyed? That's what they're talking about. Then they have another question. And what shall be the sign of thy coming? Two questions. I suppose the second question was suggested by the first question, because to the Jew, the destruction of the temple is bound to be the end of the world. So they said, when will the temple be destroyed? And when will you return? When will you return? These are important questions. Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? The word world there isn't referring to the earth that we're standing on, the round planet that's floating in space and we have all seen pictures of from satellite. The earth, the physical earth, that's not what the word refers to. No, it means when shall be the end of the age in which we're living. This age in which we're living, which will end when the Savior returns and a new and wonderful age will begin. So those are the questions the Savior is answering in this chapter. Principally the second one. What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And boys and girls, I'm most anxious to have you understand that the Savior's answer to that second question is one that you can understand. You can understand. Because you see, there are many people, many Christians, chiefly Christians, for few others give any thought to the matter, but there are many Christians who are under the impression this is so complicated. Who can understand it? But that's not the case. Christians who say that are deceived. They're deceived. I said to you that you only have to go and look across the road and see the hawthorn tree, and it tells you that summer is coming. That wasn't too hard to do. You could see the blossoms, and they were telling you, the hawthorn tree is coming into bloom, and it's saying summer's coming, better weather's coming. That wasn't too hard to work out. And anybody who would come to you and say, look, you can never know when summer's coming, you would say, that's nonsense. It's very evident when summer's coming. It gets warmer, the sun gets brighter, gets higher in the sky, things are growing, the birds are singing, and swallows return. All these things tell me that summer's coming. Don't you try to suggest to me that I can't know that summer's coming. Well, in like fashion, don't you let anyone suggest to you that the question of the Savior's return is one that it's so difficult you can never understand. Because we can understand. I mentioned the last time I was with you the signs, the first couple of signs the Lord Jesus mentioned. And this is a lovely chapter. I can't urge you enough to read closely the chapter 24 of Matthew. But if you look at the verse 42, watch therefore. Now that in itself, boys and girls, supports what it is I'm telling you. Watch therefore. In other words, the Savior is saying, there are things that you will see that will tell you that I am about to return. He wouldn't ask you to go out and watch for that which can't be seen. He wouldn't ask you to do that. There wouldn't be any sense in us going out to watch if there was nothing to see. The fact that he tells us to go out and watch indicates there's things that will happen that we will see. And he says, watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord cometh. We don't know. At this moment, I could not even hazard a guess as to what year the Lord will return in. I can't tell you. I would be very foolish to even try, but I can watch for the approach of that event. Verse 43, but know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch or what time of the night, remember Israel's day, the Romans' day was divided into watches, different periods. And so the Savior says, if the good man of the house, the master of the house, that's what it means, had known in what watch or what time the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. If the master of the house had known when a thief was coming, he would have been sitting up with a broom in his hand, ready to whack him. And like fashion, in God's word, we are given information that indicates to us when the Lord's coming, so that we can be ready, we can be prepared, and the event won't catch us unawares, the way a robber catches a person unawares, and their property is stolen while they slept. Because they didn't know the thief was coming. Had they known the thief was coming, they wouldn't have been sleeping. They would have been waiting on him. Well, Christians ought not to be sleeping regarding this matter. The Savior has given them information as to when he will return. And I'm seeking to tell you, boys and girls, that the return of the Savior to this earth is something that he has given plenty of warning about. And we can watch out for these signals that he sends and be amongst those who are waiting for him. Wouldn't you like to be amongst those who are waiting? Wouldn't you like to be amongst those who say, oh, there's a sign the Savior spoke of, and there's another sign the Savior spoke of. His coming is near, and I must live in a fashion that is in keeping with the fact that he's coming again. You watch in your house when you have visitors and see how busy Mommy is. And the chances are, especially you girls, she'll get you busy as well, preparing for the visitor. Knowing the visitor's coming, she's living in the light of that fact, and she's getting this ready and that ready and tidying up and all the rest of it. Well, in similar fashion, if we know the Lord's coming, oh, boys and girls, there's tidying to be done. There's things in our lives that shouldn't be there, but carelessness has come in, and we're doing things that we shouldn't. But if we're conscious of the return of the Lord, we'll start putting these things in order. Just like Mommy, when the visitor's coming. So here's another hint. The Lord Jesus had spoken of how it was in the days of Noah. As the people were then, so they're going to be again. So we had an indication that this is one of the signs. Just like the good man of the house, the master of the house. How, if he knows when the thief's coming, he'll be waiting on him, ready to guard his property. And boys and girls, there is a great event going to come to this world. The world refuses to think about it or believe for the moment that it's going to ever happen. But we know the Lord is coming back again, and we should live with that in mind. Well, time's gone, really, and I didn't really get as far as I'd like to have gotten this morning. But it'll keep until another day. Let's bow in prayer. O God, our Heavenly Father, I do ask thee to bless the boys and girls. May they be very conscious of the coming of the Lord. Because, Lord, there is no generation that has walked the face of this earth that is more likely to see that event than the boys and girls that are before us here. It could very well happen during their lifetime. Lord, arouse them, awaken them, stir them up, and fill their mind with thoughts of the return of the Lord Jesus. Answer prayer for us today. Bless the school, bless those that even at this moment are in the exam. Lord, bless them, I pray of thee, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.